Hello, and welcome to our podcast, Where the Dark Corners Are. I am your Dark Travels hostess. Tonight, we have a
road trip with the panda.
All right, that was atrocious. But we also have a
In 1995, a team of paranormal travel podcasters found an abandoned cub in the haunted Arctic. After some kick-ass paranormal training and his first alien kill, he was ready. So, if ghosts, serial killers, or monsters in the dark got you scared, don't hesitate to call the polar bear.
The polar bear.
Yeah. Fun fact, polar bears are classified as marine mammals. I'm still muted.
No.
I can hear you.
Well, maybe I just heard you outside.
Right. I thought I couldn't hear myself either, so.
So.
And Red Panda Sam?
Yeah. Remix the first intro.
Never seen you kill an alien.
Sorry?
I'm just saying.
Did you buy the tickets to the show?
To the what show?
The gun show.
Yeah, there it is. We should just start an improv class.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be so much easier in life.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yes, and.
Yes, and.
So it's kind of been a second. A lot of things are happening.
Yeah, things are blooming.
Alan, geez, thanks for that.
I mean, the sun was covered up by the moon the other day.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. I was lazy.
I think I took a nap.
I saw the last one in October, and I was like, that was enough.
I saw the best meme the other day that was like, hey, if you miss the eclipse, just go outside at night and see the same thing. It's like, yes.
So we're clearly scientifically inclined around here.
That's right.
But speaking of
scientifically inclined,
right. Nursery rhymes is a thing.
God, that was terrible. Where's the bridge on that one? You could have been like, we're a Renaissance man, you know, master of science and the arts and music. And speaking of music,
that's a good bridge. Instead, we just hopscotch.
Yeah, we fucking 1-2-7. I don't know what's on hopscotch, so.
That was
I never taught you accurate. Hopscotch.
I know how to do it, but you know, I was a fat kid on the playground, so I wasn't doing much of it.
He was not that fat.
And prior to his previous statement, I would say that you definitely did not know how to hopscotch.
I can do the 1-2 with a jump. One, I don't remember. Draw it out, bro.
Customize it yourself.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Oh, we gotta find him a child to teach him how to hopscotch.
Hey, random child, come here.
The neighborhood children.
Yeah.
Kids don't know what's hopscotch.
Y'all got chalk?
If it's not on YouTube, they don't know it.
No, they're like, is there an app for that?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool, though.
Look at this guy does hopscotch for me.
Dude, yeah, look, I mean, it would be cool if you make like a VR thing or something with it, AR, I guess. Like you scan it and then you can do whatever with it. Pretty cool.
Okay. Anyways, so tonight we're going to talk about creepy ass nursery rhymes, right?
Yeah, and they're awful backgrounds.
That's awesome. Background
definitely,
right.
Definitely
creepy,
maybe.
Yeah.
Lots of racist ones.
Bad things happen, and then they decided to teach children about it through song.
Right.
So, but someone.
What?
Did you want to kick us off?
I didn't say anything. You were still explaining the situation we were in.
Right? Did you raise your hand?
No, I...
Don't finish your sentence. I have to go next.
Don't do it.
You breathed a little too loud, and now you're going to kick us off.
I didn't know what she said. What was the thing you said? I was listening. I was like autopilot. You weirdo. Yeah, we're talking about... All I said was, yeah, their origins, and then you're... What was that?
All right, well, two solid bridges. Carry on.
Yeah. Are we just going to do it? I mean, did we?
You volunteered.
I didn't volunteer anything.
I saw it.
Yeah, hopscotch right in
your story.
Well,
yeah, so I mean, I don't even remember singing nursery rhymes in general. I mean, I know London Bridge, I think, was the only one I remembered for sure. Yeah, which one of us might cover.
What about Red Rover?
Is that a... I guess that's a nursery rhyme, yeah.
No.
It's like a game in a nursery rhyme.
No.
Well, yeah.
That's how people...
London Bridge is also a game as well as a song in a nursery
rhyme. So it was Ring Around the Rosie, technically.
Yeah, because right. You're doing stuff like...
So I guess it really was implemented to games and stuff, like if you did jump rope and stuff.
Well, then we did that. Miss Mary Mac.
Yeah, all dressed in black.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That was like a nursery rhyme, but it was a game, too. I mean, I think this is open to interpretation.
Okay. All
right. Right.
Fun fact is,
I mean,
the Humpty Dumpty thing.
We're connected.
Michael's not doing Humpty Dumpty, right?
No, I'm not doing Humpty Dumpty.
That was all based on a canon named Humpty Dumpty.
What was that? I couldn't hear you over the fucking
coughing over here.
Yeah, I'm like, you can cut all this out. But Humpty Dumpty was actually based on a canon. That was the name of a cannon that knocked all these things down in a war.
Okay.
Isn't that anticlimactic? Why That's do we have fun. A nursery rhyme about that?
Oh. So they just fell apart, and then they tried to put it back together?
Is that why all the king's men and horses couldn't put...
Yeah, I think so. And I was like, screw this. I'm done reading canon.
Well, I think there's different ones, because though something I saw that about Humpty Dumpty was that it referred to the fallen kings in battle. And that's why they couldn't put him back together, because he was the king.
Yeah, and I also read that he was Humpty Dumpty, and so they were making fun of him by calling him that.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, that
So who's he, weird. Henry VIII? Because he got real fat at the end of
I don't know.
His life.
Like I said, I stopped listening. I was like, this boring reading, listening. I was
ruining
like, this is stupid.
My songs.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, this sucks.
All right, what's yours?
What's yours? All right. Yeah, I guess.
Enough bickering.
Yeah, that's bickering and talking about our feelings. But I'm going to go. I went with the three blind mice. I didn't know it was a rhyme in the first place, but during research, I guess there's a whole thing for it. And I'm going to butcher the shit out of
it. Three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. The butcher chased them with a knife. The butcher chased them with a knife.
Well, close.
Okay.
They all ran after the farmer's wife, who cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing? Well, sorry. So the newer version, I guess, is a sight. So did you ever see such a thing in your life as three blind mice?
Okay.
So the rhyme was written and credited 1609, written by a man named Thomas Ravenscroft. It's the only thing to show for his short life. In a book called, I'm going to fuck this up, Deuteromelia, or the second part of the music's melody.
Is he German?
It's European. Okay. I don't know what he was.
Okay.
It is believed that the rhyme itself is depicting Queen Mary I herself in her reign of terror 50 years prior to the published release of Three Blind Mice. It is stated that Mary's belief in Catholicism fueled the persecution.
Catholicism.
It stated that Mary's belief in Catholicism fueled the persecution against Protestants, leading to approximately 300 religious dissenters burned at the stake. Queen Mary herself represents the farmer's wife due to the fact that her husband, Prince, soon to be King Philip II, owned and operated such a vast amount of farmlands, thus making her the farmer's wife. The three blind mice themselves would be nicknamed the Oxford Martyrs, their names being Thomas Cranmer, Nicholas Radley, and Hugh Latimer, all Protestant bishops who stood by their beliefs and allegedly conspired to dethrone the queen herself. Unfortunately, they were accused and convicted of heresy before anything could happen, and the three men were quickly tried and sentenced to burn at the stake. Now, in the rhyme, it mentions cutting off the tales, thus leading to believing they were dismembered. But it was not. It was proven that it's not true, and they were indeed not dismembered in any way, and that the blind part of the rhyme was their blind beliefs in the Protestant church itself.
Well, my nursery rhymes actually go into that, too.
It does. I was just thinking that because I just listened to something else about nursery rhymes, and they said the whole thing about the three blind mice, which I thought was interesting because when you think about the symbolism there, it makes sense that she's the Mary that's going to cut their tails off. I was like, oh.
She's her. Right. So, that I mean, that's the rumor spread about this dismemberment and stuff, but then it was proven that wasn't true. But by then, it's already, you know.
Right. You know, it's actually funny because a lot of this, to some extent, is propaganda. And, you know, again, horrific things turned into children's songs. I mean, that's, you know, pretty telling. But, you know, it's funny, speaking of propaganda and things that are not accurate or historically accurate, you know, like, for instance, our perception of Napoleon. Was he a tall man or was he a short man?
He was an average-sized man.
He was, but an English cartoonist would draw him as this tiny, and they would call him the tiny tyrant. And he himself realized how detrimental this English cartoonist's drawings were, because he says in a quote, "One cartoon did more damage to my image than all of the British generals."
Well, and we see a lot of, like, history just try to take a piece of what's happening and then make things about it. So, like, The Wizard of Oz, that actually, I mean, it's a movie, it's a play, it's all this stuff, but those each of those characters represents a different group of people. So, like, the Scarecrow's all the dumb farmers, and the Tin Man is the industrial people.
The heartless industrialists, yes.
And so it's kind of funny because, like, you actually go back and read about how he made that, and it was like he took everything of the time, and then he made these characters based off of groups of people.
Right. Bloom? Blom?
Yeah.
I'm mispronouncing his last name. And the Wicked Witch of the West, because he felt the West was not the solution to the United States' economical problems. Mm-hmm. And her sister, the East, again. And then who was the good person? The North.
Well, and the wizard behind the curtain is the government and all the shady stuff that they do back there.
All right, Polar Bear, what you got?
I went with the London Bridge, like we talked about earlier. There's actually a couple different theories about the origin of this one, because they found in Vikings writing their Odyssey that was translated. It was called the Heimskringla. It was translated in 1844. Which includes a verse which is reminiscent of the common version of the London Bridge is falling down nursery rhyme. And it's translated to, "London Bridge is broken down, gold is won, and bright renown, shields resounding, war horns sounding, Hild is shouting in the din, arrows singing, mail coats ringing, Odin makes our Olaf win." And Olaf speaks of the king of the Vikings, king of Norway, who ruled between 1014 and 1028, Olaf Haraldsson II. And they argue about how accurate this historic thing is. I mean, it was so long ago, but according to the texts, that they attacked the London Bridge and they burnt it down to the ground, but then they couldn't get into the city. And then, I mean, I like the Viking story, but this one's a much more sinister thing, and it speaks of the watchman in the nursery rhyme. It ends with the watchman. The whole nursery rhyme is fairly long, and each verse, the bridge gets destroyed, essentially, and they build it or reinforce it or build it more and more and more with different things, and starts out with wood and then concrete and steel and gold, and it continuously gets destroyed until the end of the verse, where it talks about put the watchman on the bridge to keep watch. But the theory of the watchman references is human sacrifice, and that the bridge would collapse unless the watchmen were entombed in the bridge foundation. And it was actually one of the beliefs back in the day. And practice of entombing someone within a structure due to the ancient belief that the human blood sacrifice would ensure the stability of the structure. This centuries-old practice is called immurement. In the context of the nursery rhyme, the immurement is believed to be about starving children who were buried alive as the old London Bridge was built in the 1200s. So, pretty dark.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes into the game where, two kids hold hands or have people go under the bridge as long as the song goes. Oh, right,
and the child gets trapped.
Yeah, and the last person, whoever doesn't make it by the time the song ends, they get trapped and essentially they're the watchman. So
that's terrible.
Yeah, and it's a kind of a funny reference, but like, you think of it as innocent, but then you kind of read into it and you're like, oh, okay, I see.
Dark days.
Yep.
It's also interesting timing since a bridge did fall down.
Yeah. I am under the impression a simple freak accident.
I'm under the impression that it was negligence all around, because when they constructed the bridge, there was a lot of talk about how they chose to do three pylons or whatever, or three support beams instead of four because it was cheaper. And then that cargo ship had multiple complaints.
Right.
And they should not have been sailing, and they definitely shouldn't have been leaving port if they had those issues. So I think it was like a freak accident is so much as all of that negligence came together to create
almost the perfect storm.
Right.
Yeah.
The perfect ship running into the perfect support beam on the perfectly
poorly constructed
bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only thing, I know it did a lot of damage and stuff, but it was at night. I mean, it could have been so much worse if it was during the day.
If there was more people. Well, they knew it was coming because they stopped everybody from being on that bridge.
The traffic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the Sinister Nursery Rhymes. I actually wanted to do Ring Around the Rosie, but
somebody was like, you're wrong.
No, not for you. You got more free time today, homie.
So go ahead, Sam. Tell us about the Rosies.
Tell us about the rings, bro.
Well, so we've all heard it, and a lot of people believe that Ring Around the Rosie is actually made and based upon the plague. So it says that Ring Around the Rosies would be the rash that was like one of the first signs that you had the plague. Pockets full of posies, they said that we had that because that line is because people would put flowers in their pockets because the dead was gross and
smelled.
Yeah, so that helped. Ashes implies that everyone's being cremated, that it's a common misnomer that they were just burning everybody when they died, but that's apparently not true. And we all fall down as in everyone dies. Yeah. Though they've found that this is not what they think it's about, so it has some timeline issues, but also in the 14th century, cremating your dead was absolutely forbidden in England. So there was no way that even those that died of the plague were cremated. They were definitely buried in accordance with church law. So what they really think it's about is that a Protestant dancing ban swept America and England in the 19th century, kind of like a Footloose situation. And like that movie, the kids of that century would not be able to be tamed. So they said that they would have play parties where they would all come around and sing this little song and hold hands, but they weren't dancing. They were just in a circle playing. And that's how they kind of got around that. So the songs included Ring Around the Rosie were about courtships and crushes. And in this particular case, someone stood in the middle of the ring as the Rosie or the Rosebush, which symbolized love, whereas everyone else was dancing around them.
Okay.
So we thought it was bad, but apparently it's not.
Wow.
So someone spread a rumor about how short Napoleon was or how bad the song was, and it just took off.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you think about the way that it works, like the timeline and the story, the plague fits in
It absolutely, 100%, because when we see movies, you hear the guy ringing the bell saying, bring out your dead, and they're burning in the background. Right. So, I mean, if you haven't seen Monty Python, I'm not dead yet. Well, I think it's kind of interesting that all of ours are in reference to England and Europe, because the United States, we don't have the history for these historic moments to create nursery rhymes. I mean, we kind of came in with the Christmas songs, but no, I don't think there's any nursery rhymes that originate from the United States, but definitely from Europe.
Well, Yankee Doodle did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess so, yeah.
He's like the only one.
The only
yeah,
one.
Yeah. No, yeah, I got you.
Born and done.
Yeah, USA, but... born and bred, baby. 76, motherfucker.
America.
Well, anyway, so I'm just like, <you're> like...
Why did you not pick that one?
I should have. Well, you know what? I didn't even think about it until you said there's no American nursery rhyme. I was like, fuck you, there ain't. Watch this. I'll put a feather in my hat and see what you say then.
Hold my beer.
Yeah. Hold my. So 76 ale.
My Sam Adams.
Yeah. So, but going back to my point, minus the one percenter over here.
No, I'm sorry.
Even mine, which is Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary. And so mine goes, Mary, Mary, Quite Contrary, how does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maize all in a row. Mistress Mary, Quite Contrary, how does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells, and so my garden grows. Now, this is, of course, in reference to who we call Bloody Mary. Because, again, history and how, once again, there's this image. Now,
they hated her.
Yes. And I think it's an unfair scenario. I think Mary had a very unfair scenario as princess and as queen. So kind of give a short but lengthy but short understanding of this scenario and going back to the three blind mice and how, again, once again, she's kind of in a shitstorm. Mm-hmm. So... her father is actually Henry VIII. Henry VIII was the second son of Henry VII. And his mom was Elizabeth of York. They had a couple kids, but the first son was Arthur. Unfortunately, Arthur was a bit of a sickly child, whereas Henry was very robust, very healthy. So back in these days, these old English old days, all of the royal families in all of these countries were predominantly Catholic. The French were Catholic, the English were Catholic, and Spain was, yeah. I mean, we're talking massive Catholicism. I mean, they had the Spanish Inquisition, for Christ's sakes. So they married each other, again, strengthening the Catholic religion, strengthening their allies, and promoting Catholicism for future generations. Well, Henry's dad was like, my eldest son needs to marry a Catholic princess. And he looks across the English Channel and he sees that Spain, and we're talking Ferdinand and Isabella the first of Spain, the same chicka chicka boom boom that sent Christopher to slaughter all the Native Americans over here. She has five children. The youngest is Catherine of Aragon. And Catherine of Aragon was actually considered quite beautiful. And I'm not really sure when her mom dies, because that kind of, her, Catherine of Aragon's mom, Isabella, kind of disappears. And we'll get to that in a second. But what ends up happening is Catherine of Aragon comes to England. She marries Arthur. And with her comes this tremendous dowry. That's what they did in the olden days.
Dowry.
And England's broke. So Henry's dad spends it all. And as I said before, Arthur is a sickly child and he dies right after the marriage. And at this point in time, Catherine of Aragon is stuck. She's very young-ish. She's beautiful. But her dowry has been spent. Her marriage is over. And so Henry's dad has a choice to make. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And Catherine's like, somebody needs to make choices here. I'm either going back to Spain with my money or... And her father, Catherine, like, I don't know where her mother is in this, but Ferdinand Aragon, who I fucking don't like. He's a fucking douchebag. I'm going to say that out loud. He's like, I don't know what to tell you. Just sit there for a minute. Maybe I'll figure something out. He never does. So Henry's dad goes, you know what? You're saying the marriage was never consummated because it was kind of against Catholic law to marry your widow to your other kids, brothers' wives. But you're saying you never consummated. Was marriage even fulfilled?
Did you really love him?
Did it count?
And the thing is at this point, Henry is very impressionable. He's actually kind of in love with Catherine of Aragon. Like childish love, if you will. So he has them marry. So she becomes the first wife of Henry VIII. And she's a good wife. She actually has a baby. The baby dies. Then she has Mary. Then she gets pregnant a couple of times. But she's running out of uterus time. And Henry understands this because Henry is younger. And even though Henry does actually like her, he's humping everybody else, including Anne Boleyn's sister. And I think her name was Mary. In fact, I want to say Mary gives birth to two healthy children, including a son. And that's what Henry wanted. So Henry's like, this woman is never going to give me a child, the son that I want. And so he basically ghosts her. He literally, while she's at their, you know, vacationing at this one castle, he's like, everybody, let's just go. Let's just go right now. Everyone listen. <listening. laughs> And he leaves her there. He doesn't even tell her she's leaving. She basically wakes up and the fucker's gone. And so he's like, I got to get a divorce because I want one son who's legitimate. But Catholics don't divorce. And he's got an even bigger problem. Catherine of Aragon's nephew is the Pope. So Henry sends a letter to the Pope going, hey, please, when you please give me a divorce. And the Pope's like, that's my fucking aunt, you asshole. I'm not fucking doing that to her. No, that's one word. So Henry's like, what the fuck am I going to do? And he's messing around with Anne Boleyn. He's like, hey, Anne, what's your religion? And she's like, I'm a Protestant. So he's like, you know what? I think it's time. England
sounds so much better.
Yeah. You guys believe in divorces in Protestant religion, right? She's like, we sure do. So he literally says England is no longer Catholic. And he literally strips all the churches, the Catholic churches. He's like, I'm taking all your gold. So he actually ends up filling his little coffers up with all this money that the Catholic Church is holding in England. So he makes himself a buck. And he's like, you guys going to get a divorce now that I'm Protestant? They're like, yes. Yes, we are. And so he quote unquote divorces Catherine of Aragon, marries Anne Boleyn. She has a couple of miscarriages. Then she has Elizabeth I. And then she has a couple more miscarriages. And he's like, you know what?
It's not working.
They're correct. Your uterus isn't working. So then he has his people frame Anne Boleyn, not frame. They set her up. They accuse her of all things of treason against the king via adultery. You can't cheat on your husband who's the king. That's considered treason, adultery. And they slice off her head. The second her head is sliced, he runs to Jane Seymour. He marries Jane Seymour and they have a son. I believe his name is Edward. Eddie is a very sickly child. In fact, they kind of blame Henry for it. He kind of like comes into the birthing room, snatches up the kid, and he's like, finally my son. And Jane Seymour dies like 2 or 3 days later.
Jeez.
Anyway, the son is a sickly child. He never really makes it to complete adulthood. But he's got two grown sisters, Mary and Elizabeth. And Mary was raised by mom. I told you, he ghosted Catherine of Aragon. He left the daughter behind. He married Anne Boleyn, and he cut off her head. And so Edward, knowing that he's going to die very young, very sickly, he gets talked into, well, we need to keep England Protestant because he's raising the Protestant faith now. And so they're like, you're going to die. You need to name somebody. So he names his cousin Lady Jane Grey. She's queen for 9 days after Eddie dies. And that's when Mary takes the throne. She beheads Lady Jane Grey and her husband, and she becomes queen. But she's got a fucking problem. All these years, England's been under Protestant. She's Catholic. So now she's got to convert she doesn't have the strength her dad did. She doesn't have the respect her dad did. So now she's got to sweep everybody back to Catholicism. And that's what this nursing rhyme is about. Her sweeping it back to Catholicism. And, like, she was, her garden in this nursery rhyme, how does your garden grow? Well, she's killing people, burning them at the stake or beheading them with the guillotine or cutting their heads off. The silver bells that are mentioned are actually thumbscrews to torture people to convert. The cockleshells are also a torture, an instrument of torture, which was attached to men's genitalia. Clip, clap. There goes that.
I'm not upset about anything you've said so far.
Okay. So, in the guillotine was nicknamed the maiden. So, and when it's like, how does your garden grow? Well, she's growing all these graveyards because of this conversion. Now, the interesting part and the tail end of this is once Mary dies, she marries Philip of Spain, Philip II. She's old by the time she's allowed to marry because her dad never let her marry. She doesn't produce a child. And she like chooses when she chooses Spain because they're Catholic, again, to strengthen back, bring Catholicism back. When she dies, she has no other choice but to give it the crown to Elizabeth I, who is Protestant. So just a lot of shit storms over fucking religion. And here again, because she wasn't very popular, because Elizabeth becomes very popular by comparison. Now we have all these nursery rhymes saying, you know, doing derogatory thing. And Mary was a very good sister. She was a very kind person.
Well, I mean,
prior, I mean, obviously not burning not all these burning
people at the stake or nothing, you know, whatever.
Right, but I mean, when we look at Elizabeth versus Elizabeth, I mean, there's movies about Elizabeth, how wonderful she is, and but to be fair, Elizabeth kind of takes a very different approach. She probably learned from her sister when she says, "We're not here to look into the windows of men's heart." When they talk about, "Are you going to force Protestant onto you know in your reign?" And she's kind of like, "Well." Just show face value. Just kind of act like it. I'm not going to fucking burn you guys, you know. And she's the popular one.
You she's understand? Not killing people just on...
for religious purposes, yeah. Yes.
Off with their heads.
I just did a quick Google, so this isn't true, but the queen off of Alice in Wonderland gives me...
Mary
queen
vibes.
Mary yeah. vibes.
Right? Because, I mean, same mm-hmm. thing. Red Rose Garden, the blood, the off with your heads, all that
she
stuff.
She wears black. Oh, she was black and red.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of yeah. interesting. Has nothing to do with her. Just looked it up. The other thing I want to say is shout out to Six, which is a musical about the wives of Henry VIII. It is phenomenal.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, it was so good. We took my kids and my brother. We went to Reno and saw it. It was amazing. But it tells them their it tells the stories from them.
For their perspective.
It is so good. It talks about him going to the German house and seeing all the pictures and picking his wife based on the portraits. And then how when the wife showed up, he was
like... She was ugly.
He thought she was fooled. Yeah, he was fooled by it.
Catfish.
And then, like how he had... that's what it's all about. That you like they did like a Tinder type of thing. So it's like swiping right or whatever. And he
swiping
like,
portraits.
Yeah, so when he found her and she came there, he's like, I hate you. Go away. And he just, like, banished her. And she just got to go live the high life because she was one of the few that wasn't beheaded. Two were beheaded, and it talks about both of them.
Right, Catherine, I think, Parr and Catherine. Shit.
I know, I can't remember all of them. It talks about the one he was really in love with that died of cancer and how she feels the worst because she's like, I didn't even get to have a life. Like, I just died. And I wish I could have raised my kids. And they're like, yeah, but we got beheaded. And she's like, I know, but he loved me. And they're like, we got beheaded. We hate you. Shut up.
Catherine Howard, I think, was the other Catherine.
Catherine Howard, yeah. It is hilarious. So if you guys have not checked that out, go check it out. Six is really good.
My friends played the music in their car. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? She's like, this is the Henry VIII play. And I was like, the what?
It is hilarious. It is really, really funny. But it's good. And the music's catchy as hell.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a cool town. They had everything going. And I was like, well, all right.
But, you know, in this play, just segueing for a half second, they spun it. So all of these queens are based off of, like, they modeled them into pop stars. So one of them's like Avril Lavigne and her song's really rocky. And one's like Beyonce and hers is like really... female empowerment, and they have the Spanish one, and hers is more in that theme, and it's fascinating. It's really, really good. It's something that you would like. I'm surprised you haven't seen it, honestly.
I've never even heard of it.
Phenomenal.
No.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what we have for you tonight. On to business.
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. We have a Facebook page where you can check out our cool nursery rhymes.
Yeah.
Tell me what alcohol you'd like to spike your lemonade with, because we're about to find out what I want.
Are you done?
Go ahead. Gmail.
Oh. We also have an email, where the dark corners are at gmail.com.
Where we're also taking vodka recipes. It's been a week. It's only Tuesday.
Or stories. Or our paranormal itineraries.
Topic ideas.
Yep. Visitation places.
Right places to visit or check out.
Well, as I say, you know, we actually do have a lot more rhymes in the United States.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Well, final thoughts, Panda.
Yeah, final thoughts, Panda.
Yeah, sorry, y'all. We're just going to end this shit. We're fucking, I'm not done. Five Little Monkeys, dude. It's raining. It's pouring. Itsy Bitsy Spider, dude. Mary Had a Little Lamb, dude. 1, 2, Buckle My Shoe. Row, row, row your boat. There's a bunch more in here that I really don't care about.
Those are Americans?
Yes.
Okay.
And then Yankee Doodle, of course. Suck it. We them, bro.
Okay. Polar Bear, what you got? Final.
I don't know. I just feel like they don't have the tragic backstories that.
Yeah, the Itty Bitty Spider makes it, dude. That fucking thing survives. Yeah. What the fuck, dude?
Too many inspirational nursery rhymes.
I'm sure Yankee Doodle's sad.
Need dark ones.
I'm sure he fucking gets shot in the field of battle. Just, I don't know.
That's it.
Sam.
Anything can be creepy if you sing it creepy. That's where I'm at in my life. All fairy tale or all nursery rhymes, fairy tales, whatever, can all have a drastic spin if you have like a little kid singing it.
Right, with this little
the creepy little voice,
carousel tone or yeah, jewelry box tone in the background.
Ring around the rug.
I know, right? Yeah. Her hair is all covering her face, and she's dressed in this dirty white dress.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's pure.
Anywho, so until next time, please remember, only the few can find the beauty in the darkness, which is where we...
I said, you want us to finish it? Because I don't remember.
It's been a while.
Huh? That's our own rhyme we don't got down.
Right? Where we hope to meet you in the dark corners are.
Well, so they...
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Do you ever not cough, dude? Did you hold your breath this whole time?
I've been holding it back, too. Like, I can feel it coming.
Well, you have vodka to fight it back, so...
Yeah.
Really, do you have vodka here?
I can fucking spike that shit, dude.
Don't joke with me right now.
You want to get drunk? This is the place to be.
Okay, we'll talk after. We'll talk at break.